To mark this occasion, I first obviously want to say a l'chaim, because as will become evident by the end of what I have to say, the enormity of what is actually being accomplished, or what has been accomplished, and what we've embarked on by starting a new Masechta, is in many, many respects unparalleled. So I want to wish everyone here who has been joining in the learning, whether it's been the whole 7 or 8 year cycle or whatever it is for the Masechta Baba Kama, or started midway or whenever it is, to wish you Mazel Tov, and to have continued success and Hatzlacha in this learning. L'chaim. I don't know if I'm going to give any expose into pops and green beans or green leaves or whatever it is that was discussed right at the very end of the Masechta, but I think that the significance of what has actually occurred, to have been Mesayim a Masechta, to conclude it, not just to conclude a Masechta, because there's lots and lots of Jews around the world who conclude Masechtas all the time. People who follow the Daf Yomi cycle are concluding Masechtas. People in Yeshiva are concluding Masechtas. When I was a student in Yeshiva, it was considered, if you spent a whole day learning Gemara and you didn't finish the Masechta of the particular year that you were learning, then it was almost expected. Of course you're going to finish it. What else are you doing all day? What are your parents spending $20,000 a year to send you to Yeshiva for? The uniqueness is that the Siyum and the learning has been taken place dafka in the middle of the day, and dafka in the middle of one's business affairs. One has taken a break, could be doing anything else in the world, and has dafka prioritized their time and directed it towards Torah study. Not just Torah study, but Gemara. I'll explain the significance of that. The centrality of Torah study to the Jewish people, particularly today, cannot be overstated. For generations and for centuries, the sages have been asking the one simple question: what is it? What is it about the Jewish people that defines us as a nation? What is it? Is it our common history? The fact that we left Egypt? Is it the common language that we share? The language of Hebrew? What specific element that is equal to all of us is it that defines us as a people? And the answer that is given most profoundly is Umasenu Eina Uma. Our nation is only a nation, Ela Bishvil HaTorah, because of the Torah that we possess. Nothing else. Nothing more and nothing less. Languages come and go. The current Hebrew language as spoken in Israel is different from the Lashon HaKodesh that was given to us on Sinai. History fluctuates, it comes and goes. Different Jewish groups share different histories, they have different histories, and so on. The one thing that binds together and unites a Jew in CBD of Melbourne to a Jew in Shanghai, to a Jew in Israel, to a Jew in the USSR, is the Torah. Because Torah achas l'kulonu. There is only one Torah that we share, and that is what binds us together. We could be learning over here, Masechta Baba Kama, and this another group somewhere in a different part of the world is learning exactly the same Masechta, is learning Gemara. That is what unites us and binds us. And whilst that might be something that we take for granted as frum Jews or people who believe in the divinity of the Torah, not all Jews accept that. In fact, the majority of Jews alive today do not accept that the Torah is the one thing that binds us. You know, in my way of life, I find in my role as a congregational rabbi, I come across lots of different Jews with lots of different beliefs and different opinions, etc. And you tell them that Torah is the one thing that is relevant today, the single most important thing that is relevant, the single most important thing that defines us as a people, and they look at you as an elitist, or as present company excluded, because Graham, I know you're in our midst over here. But many other people will say, we're not really a religion or a faith per se. We are a culture, we're an ethnicity, it's the Holocaust that binds us, it's connection to Israel that binds us, all very important things, but they are not the essence of the Jewish people. The essence, the quintessence of the Jew is the Torah. And that is precisely why, despite the advances of our critics, who would say that the study of Gemara, the study of a text that was written in Babylonia 2,000 years ago, is totally archaic, totally irrelevant to our current lives. The laws of damages that you've learnt about in Baba Kama, the laws of torts and all the rest of it, have no instruction or do not inform in any way the current common law that we practice here in Australia, or that Americans practice in America, or that any other country in a secular society might practice. Those arguments are futile when we put them in the context of Umaseno Eno Uma Ela Bishvila Torah, that is the Torah that unites us as a people. It doesn't matter what the subject matter of the Torah that we're learning is. It's totally irrelevant. All that matters is that this is the divine will of Hashem as it is translated in the pages of the Gemara of the Talmud. Whether it's Baba Kama talking about the laws of damages, whether it's Gittin law talking about the laws of divorces, whether it's Nida talking about the laws of Nida, and whether it's Masechta Sanhedrin talking about how hierarchies of judges used to operate in years gone by, it's totally irrelevant. The content is far less relevant than the very essence of the Torah, which is the one single thing that unites us, but never more so than today. And I say that for two reasons. First of all, we'll take as an assumption that we all learn Chumash and Rashi every single day. Every parasha is divided into seven sections corresponding to the 7 days of the week. Today is a Wednesday, which corresponds to Revi, the fourth call-up of Parashas Va'etchanan. One pasuk in that call-up speaks volumes in relation to this. It's Moshe talking to Bnei Yisrael, and he's saying to them, Hashem, our God, has created a covenant with us right here. And he goes on to say, Lo yas avoseinu, not just our forefathers, Koras lono habris hazois, did he make this covenant with us, to connect us to him through his Torah. Kim itonu, but to us here now, hayoin today, kulonu chayim. And he goes on to explain, Dafka today, is this Torah relevant to us? Because remember, it's all relative. When Moshe was talking to the Jewish people back then, 3,000 years ago, 3,500 years ago, in those days, the earlier generation had passed out. They were no longer, Avoseinu was no longer us. Avoseinu and Imonu were two separate generations that were disconnected. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, don't think that what was connected or promised to Avoseinu is no longer relevant to Itonu. It is still relevant to Itonu, and it is a living Torah that continues. It is that pasuk that we learn in today's Chumash, which is the raisin dot and provides the context or the pretext for sitting in the middle of the CBD, using our lunchtime to learn the Babylonian Talmud, the Gemara, Masechta Bavli, which ostensibly has nothing to do with our lives. Says Moshe Rabbeinu today, in this week's Torah portion, that this is the single most relevant thing to our lives right now. This is what makes us tick as Jews, and it doesn't matter the generational shift, it doesn't matter the fact that we are no longer living as Avoseinu, or even in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, where this is a new world, it's a different dimension. But one thing has never ever changed, and that is our connection to the Torah. And that is what we live and experience and perpetuate on a daily or weekly basis by learning Gemara every single time that we convene over here. Learning Gemara, having a lunch, of course, as well, davening mincha, that is what makes our people a people. And that is what binds us. And that is what effectively obviates any of the things that would otherwise make us different. Whether we're Lubavitchers, whether modern Orthodox, whether we're Litvaks, whether we're secular, all of those titles go out the window because that Gemara speaks kulono to every single one of us. Itono hayoyim kulono chayim. Every single one of us. It is our life and it is our umbilical cord spiritually. Today, however, we face a challenge that our forefathers never faced. They faced a different type of challenge. The challenge of our ancestors, the challenge of those who were preceding us in the times of the Talmud, was inaccessibility of the Gemara to them. Today's challenge is apathy. Accessibility we have. We have the Gemara that is translated in every conceivable language. You have the Steinsaltz, we have the art scroll. It's at our fingertips. What more can we do than bring the water trough to the horse's mouth? But we cannot force people to drink. in years gone by, people would have given their left arm, a pound of flesh, just to be able to access Gemara. There were times when there was this hierarchy that existed between the studious of the Jewish people and the ignoramuses who weren't able to hold a siddur the right way up. They weren't able to learn. Torah was not accessible to them in the same way that it is now. And do you know specifically when that changed? At what venture in our history did Gemara specifically start to become accessible to the Jewish people and was absorbed by all of Klal Yisrael? I'll give you one clue. Sorry?
Printing press.
Yeah, but even before that. Even before that, there was a fundamental shift. And I'll give you a clue. It's today. Historically, it was today. It was the day after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Yesterday, we commemorated Tisha B'Av, the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Until the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, learning was not accessible to everyone, as harsh as it sounds. There was a hierarchy. In the times of the Beis HaMikdash, you had your Melech, you had the Koyanim and the Leviim, you had the Neviim, you had all of this hierarchy, and then you had the Amcha, the Bnei Yisrael, who at best would be able to sit on the outskirts of a Shiur. They did not have direct access to learning, and certainly not to the oral tradition. The oral tradition was barred from Bnei Yisrael because everything that was supposed to be oral was kept oral. It was never written down. Only after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash did Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi realize, we've got to commit this to writing. Only after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash did Rav Ashi realize, we've got to put not just the Mishnah, but the entire Talmud into writing. And he created this compendium that we today know as the Talmud Bavli. As Jonathan Sacks beautifully points out, that as Jews, we look at tragedy and we look at catastrophe and we have to see the positive that comes out of it. There's no question that historically the Churban Beis HaMikdash was the greatest catastrophe that we've experienced in earlier times. But as a result of that, born from that catastrophe, was the birth of the oral tradition, which then became accessible to the masses because it was written down and anyone who wanted to learn could come and learn. And Jonathan Sacks points out even more beautifully that once he was traveling to China, and he met the then ambassador from China to the UK, and he asked the ambassador, what is it about your people that has allowed you the longevity that you enjoy today? The two oldest peoples in this world are the Jews and the Chinese. I think the Chinese historically are the only ones who date back more than 4,000 years. Is that correct? You might know better than I do. The ambassador said to him, because in Chinese language, everything's diagrams, ideograms, right? He said that the symbol, the ideogram in Chinese for catastrophe is the same as opportunity. Because the Chinese, whenever they experience a catastrophe in it, they would find opportunity and an experience for birth. And the only religion that surpasses that concept is Judaism. Because in Judaism, do you have anyone who speaks modern Ivrit? Anyone? Not all at once, if you don't mind. What is the word in Hebrew for catastrophe? Mashber. Mashber. Where do we find the expression mashber in Talmudic and Mishnaic terminology? What was it? A mashber was a birthing stool. It was what the midwives used to use when women were delivering new life into this world. Dafka through the mashber, the same word that connotes a catastrophe, a tragedy, is the birth of Am Yisroel and the birth of the Torah. Dafka through the tragedy of Tisha B'Av that we sat on the floor just yesterday, less than 24 hours ago, dafka through that was the birth of the oral Torah, which we are now able to learn in access today. Incredibly. Gone is the hierarchy. No more kings, no more prophets, no more Kohanim and Leviim who would be the teachers of the Torah today. The Torah became accessible to each and every one of us. Independently. Without the rabbis, without the Kohanim, without the Malachim, we had it directly. In fact, the Midrash relates the story about Rabbi Yannai. Rabbi Yannai was one of the great sages, and he was once traveling from his home, and he noticed a man who was approaching the city, a very distinguished-looking, good-looking fellow. Right? Could have been any of you. The fellow's coming, is about to enter the city, and Rabbi Yannai approached him. He assumed that from his image, the image that he portrayed of himself, he must have been a very knowledgeable Jew. Because, I mean, he had this certain sense of aristocratic sort of charisma about him. So he went up to him and he said to him, "I would like to invite you to my home to dine with us." So he accepted the invitation and off he goes. They sit down to eat. During the meal, Rabbi Yannai turns to him and tests him on his learning. He tests him on Mikra, Chumash, V'lo Matzal, didn't know anything. Tests him on Mishnah, V'lo Matzal, didn't know anything. He tests his guest on Talmud, V'lo Matzal, didn't know anything. From one component of the Torah to the next, he tests him, kaput. He was sitting in the presence of a complete and total Am Haaretz, complete and total ignoramus. At the end of the meal, he turned to his guest and he said, "At the very least, brichlon, bench for us, bench for us. You can't learn, at least lead the benching so that this meal would have been worth something." To which the guest responded and said, "You're the owner of the home, I think it's most appropriate for you to bench." Which Rabbi Yannai inferred from there, he doesn't even know how to bench. Doesn't know which way to hold up a siddur. So Rabbi Yannai lost it and said, "I want you to repeat after me," he says to this man. "A dog has just eaten from the home of Rabbi Yannai." And the guest was shocked to hear this. And the guest responded to Rabbi Yannai and said, "Rabbi Yannai, with the greatest of respect, with the greatest of respect, you have unjustifiably insulted me. Because although I may not know the Torah, I have a direct relationship with the Torah." The verse says explicitly, he told Rabbi Yannai, he was talking up to Rabbi Yannai, Torah tzivalon Moshe, that Torah that Moshe commanded to us, Moirosha Kehilas Yaakov, was an inheritance to the entire Kehilas Yaakov. It doesn't matter that I don't know how to read, accessibility and access I now have. So how dare you say that to me? And Rabbi Yannai conceded his mistake. Today, accessibility is no longer the issue. Tragically, the new challenge for today is apathy, desire to learn it. You can give someone, anyone who's got internet access in their home can learn any aspect of Torah that they want. And yet today, of all generations, we have a significant majority of Jews, tragically, who don't know how to learn, do not spend time learning, and the principal reason behind that is because they don't have a desire to learn. And that, to me, is what makes this type of siyum so special. Because anyone can learn Gemara after hours. You go to a shir, after Ma'ariv, there's a Gemara, or a Daf Yomi before Shacharis. Before and after is the easy part. It's taking the time in the day, in the middle of the day, to sit and learn a Betzibur, when we could be doing anything else. That is the ultimate schutz. And that is the ultimate nachas to Hashem. That's what makes this so special. If you look at it in the context of prayer, how many tefillahs do we have during the day? Shacharit, Mincha, and Ma'ariv. The first one and the last one, Shacharis and Ma'ariv, are considered mediocre in level. Which of the three tefillahs is considered the most special? Dafka Mincha. Elio Hanavi lo nene ele betefillahs Mincha. Elio was only ever answered in Mincha. Why? Because only Mincha is the one where you set aside time in the middle of the day. Shacharis your day hasn't begun, Ma'ariv your day is already finished. Mincha is the one time, like right here, like what we just did, in between our clients, in between our business responsibilities, we daven. That's what this siyum represents to me. So in the expression of Rambam, which we'll conclude on, he said, Shlosha chasarim nichtaru b'nei Yisrael. The Jews were given three crowns, Keser Torah, Keser Kohuna, the priesthood, and Keser Malchus, kingship. Keser Kohuna, he says, was given to who? Aaron Ovon of Zochabah, Aaron and his children. Keser Malchus was given to who? David Ovon of Zochabah, only King David and his dynasty. It's dynastic, it has to go through the father of David. Keser Torah, he says, Hinei Oimed Umunach umuchan lechol mi sheyirtze. It stands ready, accessible to any Jew who wants it. All we have to do is put out our hand and take it. And that prerogative is what you have elected to do. Every single day, for years and years and years, have elected and chosen consciously to take that Torah. God knows there's anything else in the world that you could be doing right now, and you justify it somehow. It's work-related, right? I'm doing errands for the wife, or whatever it might be. But we don't. We spend that time, we dedicate it, and that's what makes this so special. So, if I may, just to part with a bracha. My brachas aren't necessarily all that valuable, but the Gemara says, Al tiyi brachas hedyot kal beinecha, that even if it's just a simpleton, accept his blessings anyway. So I'm a simpleton giving you guys, who are the learners, a blessing. And the blessing is that which we just finished a week and a half ago reading from the Torah, Chazak Chazak v'nischazek. We finished Sefer Bamidbar. So I say to you, Chazak Chazak v'nischazek. Chazak to JBD for putting this on, for providing it, for teaching it. Chazak to the participants who have been learning diligently and continuing. And through that, v'nischazek, we as a kehillah, as a community, are the ones to be strengthened by your learning. So thank you. And the final. Now we'll